A lot of people have been asking about black holes and on and on and on and all of these conspiracy theories. Let's look at this. Noah says, what else can you think about? Black hole, Bermuda Triangle. And then Deji says, huh, just like the movie Lost. That's what people are saying. I know it's preposterous, but is it preposterous, you think, Mary?
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the
I want to check in now. It's in his Martin Savage. At this moment, he is in a 777 flight simulator along with instructor Mitchell Casado. He is answering a question about zombie flight from Eckstein, who asked if zombie plane theory is true.
Because we left with 7 hours of fuel.
Right.
And this plane is so sophisticated, it flies and flies and flies until it runs out of fuel. That's the zombie theory.
You say the sign-off from the co-pilot, he said, all right, good night, that it still doesn't sit right with you, why?
All right, good night is either way too casual, not compliant, or maybe it's a coded message.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Banal of America Audio, with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and on this edition of the program, scarce research, my friends. This is the year in review, as you expect from us. We've been cramming for the last...
5 minutes.
Exactly, yes. 5 minutes. Because it is the year in review edition of the program, and that's why, as we say, no comparison, because this is really unlike any show out there. I joke on Facebook here that it's our annual airing of grievances. There's going to be a lot of kvetching, because back on the program, of course, is the maestro of Radio Misterioso, the guru himself, Greg Bishop. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Well, thanks, Tim. Is that what we're known? Is that what I'm known for, being on the show, just bitching and moaning and whining?
No, no. That's me and you, and it's me and you at the, it's me and you on the year-end show.
Yeah, I do like that word, wheedling. Anyway,
I like that. I'm going to use that next year when I promote the 2015 year in review. Wheedling.
The 2015 wheedling show.
Well, I was going to mention this before the show, but I wanted to wait till we got on the air. I was looking back here. This we've been doing this since 2007, so we've reviewed 7 years now. And for those keeping score at home, we still don't know what UFOs are. We haven't produced a Bigfoot. The secrets of the afterlife, of course, have not been unlocked. And whoever shot JFK, RFK, MLK, and Marilyn Monroe is still running amok. So
yeah.
we're really behind the eight ball here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't come up with any solutions. Why are you still even on the air? You have to have a solution. You'll never get a contract. You'll never get paid unless you have a solution. Got to commit to something. If you don't commit to something, they edit you out. You know that.
What should the solution be? What are you talking about here?
Yeah, the solution, yeah. Well, the solution should be what you said at the beginning. You know, no rules, no... What did you say? No rules, no commercials, no... I think that kind of is part of the solution. Just what you said is your show tagline.
Just fly by the seat of your pants, man. Try and figure this out. That's what we do here on the show. I was thinking about this before we started, because I was like, oh, geez, we're going to start, and it is the kvetching episode. It's, you know, I'm very cynical, I think, from all these
years. Yeah, we're both cynical. Remember we did that show, and it said, what was it, is ufology, or are we sick of ufology, something like that? And a whole bunch of people came on the list and said, what are you talking about? Why are you sick of it? Why are you so cynical? Like, well, if you're looking for answers and none come, and then all you hear is a lot of people saying things that either you've heard before or are just, you know, patently silly or stupid, you have to fight being cynical. It's really tough. It's
yeah.
Easy to be cynical.
Exactly. Well, like I said, I was thinking about this before the show. We sort of have a results-oriented point of view here. It seems to have grown that way on the show. Show us results. Do something. You know, produce. And then we'll provide, you know, laudatory.
Yeah. We'll bring it up later, but there is one thing that came up on my show the other night where I thought, geez, somebody actually did something different, but we'll get to that.
Nice. I like that. All right, so as I said, as we've been joking around here to start it out, I really haven't done a whole wealth of research, but I have sort of cherry-picked what I thought as I've done the last few years, like the most interesting and best and top stories are for 2014. And I don't know, I haven't actually told you much about them yet. I'm giving you really like a super thumbnail. Because honestly, folks, this actually came about like probably 36 hours ago, this whole show, where I just wrote to Greg and was like, year in review? Question mark. So that's how much we've prepared. So I started out, of course, you are a pilot, which makes this an even more exciting, in a way, story to talk about, because you have some expertise that really I think nobody else who's been on the show can tell us.
Maybe not, but I have read up on it based on the word of a actual airline pilot. Go ahead.
Okay. And, of course, that's the Malaysian Flight 370, the MH370. I think it was, like, the biggest story of the year as far as, like, paranormal and esoterica and sort of keeping in keeping with all of this weirdness, the general weirdness of the world, which is what we're looking at here on the show. So I thought that was – it was spellbinding to me. I was just completely engulfed in this thing. I was looking at it, like, around the clock. And eventually, it kind of obviously, like, petered out. But it seems – it was kind of one of those things. It feels like if they don't find something – it's always going to be one of these enduring mysteries. And you never see those come along anymore in this whole thing. You know, they're like comparing it to Amelia Earhart. And it's like, that was, you know, decades ago. So it's this like fresh, weird mystery. And I like that. So, of course, obviously, before anyone gets sad, you know, it sucks that all those people died, of course. You know, it's like you have to say that kind of thing. So, yeah, obviously, but we're looking at it as a story. So go on.
Right.
Well, what do you think? What are your thoughts about it? What were you thinking when it happened? What do you think happened?
Well, I'm trying to remember what the guy said. I was looking at I was like doing cramming while you were talking. There's a site called AskThePilot.com, it fascinates the hell out of me. And it's just people, you know, it's a pilot that flies for the airlines. He's written a book called Ask the Pilot.
Yeah.
His name is Patrick Smith. And he goes into a whole bunch of different scenarios about it.
Yeah.
People need to reconcile with the possibility that the plane might never be found. It sounds absurd. He said the most likely thing is something went wrong with the plane, and they didn't have enough fuel or whatever to get to where they wanted to, and they just ditched somewhere. He's being an airline pilot, that's his best guess. And you'll have to go to his site and find out what he says about it. He deals with each of the theories. Like, was it hijacked? No. Did the crew suffer hypoxia, meaning they ran out of oxygen and by being at too high an altitude, and then, you know, the plane just, no, because the plane, after they were at a high altitude, they dropped to a lower altitude and became and still maneuvered the plane around. So that means they didn't pass out from lack of oxygen and a few other things. But he says he gets rid of all of them and just said something went wrong with the plane. Something went wrong with the power, maybe in the plane, and that turned off the transponder, and the thing probably ditched somewhere, and it's just in, you know, thousands of miles of ocean somewhere. Maybe it just kept going and went way out of an area that they would be searching. He puts away it was hijacked and flown to Russia or whatever. It's like, why would you take the plane and then not tell anybody about it? That seems stupid. And if you did take the plane, what have you done with the plane? Is it just sitting there? You'd think you'd use it for something by now.
I guess. I don't know.
And the other thing is, it's a lot easier to hijack a plane like not a passenger plane, but like a cargo plane, if you just want to use the plane.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Why would you want a passenger plane? Well, the whole thing, that's the whole, it's you know, it has all the makings of, like, science fiction, you know?
Yeah.
The plane just disappears out of nowhere. So, you know, honestly, I as I've said in years and years and years on this show, I cheer for the odd and the conspiracy parts. You hope
yeah,
that it was
too.
Like,
I mean, I'm fascinated
thing,
to hear but them, but then, you know, you look at it sort of something like this, which is a, you know, it's a lot of things happen to planes. A lot of planes have disappeared without a trace. It's not like this hasn't happened before. It's just that people find it hard to believe because they think that there's a lot more tracking of planes and exactly where they are and all that than there actually is, especially in certain areas of the world.
I was going to ask you that, but at the same time, it's still confusing to me in a sense that even if the plane that all these people have cell phones and they didn't, you know, I feel like everyone's being tracked at all times. So it's amazing to me that they could lose not just a plane, but a plane full of all these people and shit.
Well, the cell phones aren't going to work out in the middle of the ocean. It doesn't work that far.
I guess. I guess I kind of presume that
there's
no reason
to have cell phones out. When people are on ships in the ocean, they're using satellite phones if they're, you know, if that kind of thing. Or if they're on a cruise ship, I guess their cell phone just hooks into the system there or something. I don't know. But another thing that Ask the Pilot column deals with is just type in Ask the Pilot Malaysian Airlines, and it'll come up. One of the things he deals with is that thing I was just talking about. Things can get lost. It's not easy, but it can happen. Planes can get lost. They can disappear off of radar. They can, you know, not be seen by satellites or whatever, because I don't think there's satellites watching every inch of the planet every second. There are satellites watching every inch of civilized inhabited parts of the planet every second, I'm pretty sure.
That's I was going to interrupt you just to say that's the weird part. That's the thing that's kind of like mind-bending in a way. It's because we just came off that year that was like, oh, they're spying on you. They know your everything. They know your moves and shit. And it's like,
they do. But if you're out in the middle of the ocean somewhere or on an island or, you know,
we got to move to the middle of the ocean then, I
guess. Baja, California. Don't have internet and anything like that. You can disappear. You can disappear easily. You just have to give up a lot of technology.
Yeah. That's the weird part, you know, where it's like it's this weird juxtaposition where you're under the microscope in 1 minute, then all of a sudden they can lose them too. It's like, what is this? This is crazy.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who're saying no, but this and no, but that. That's as much as I know of it, and it seems reasonable to me that something seriously went wrong with probably a couple of different systems on the plane. And they lost their radio, lost their transponder. Things could, you know, as he explains in his article there, things can be shut off by losing power inadvertently, and the engines will still keep running because the engines are running on a different, you know, even in the little plane I'm in, all the electricity can go out and the engine will still run because they're run on magnetos.
What's a magneto?
It is basically an alternator in a plane.
Weird.
And it's doing is supplying power for mainly power for the spark plugs to go so the plane can go. I remember I posted something on UFO Mystics, like, why don't UFOs stop planes? You know how, you know, there are all these things about car engines being stopped when a UFO's around.
If you
believe that goes on.
Right.
And then there's all these, you know, encounters with aircraft, and it doesn't shut the engine off in the aircraft.
Right, you'd have tons of airplane crashes if that happened. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because the magnetos keep it going if you shut off the electricity, is what you're saying?
Well, the magnetos keep it going, and two, there's like the electrical system is redundant. Everything in the airplane engine, in an internal combustion airplane engine, is redundant. There's two spark plugs in each cylinder. And the two spark plugs run off the separate magneto. So there's a lot of redundancy built in because if an engine quits in a plane, you
die.
Land somewhere really quickly. If an engine hits, you know, goes off in a car, you just pull off the road. So the nature of the engines are a little different, and it's something probably to do with redundancy of how the engines put together. That's what somebody came up with before I was even taking pilot lessons. Then when I took them, I realized what they were talking about.
Well, the only way it wasn't some natural thing would be if it was some kind of – you would need, like, super talented people to do that. You know what I mean? You need, like, movie-type people who could take over a plane unless they could, remote control it somehow. Those are the only real options.
That was one of that's one of the theories too. And then of course who's the guy from the Pennsylvania MUFON guy that said that what's his name?
Stan Gordon? No.
No, not Stan Gordon. Oh, I can't remember his name now, which is probably a good thing, but he said that we have to seriously consider the possibility of aliens.
Well,
aliens abducting an entire plane.
Do we? that's a question. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't.
The whole question about abductions and all that and cattle mutilation. Why do aliens need so many people and so many things? You know, if they just want a sample, they may be doing something else. If they really are aliens doing this to people, but
well, as a fan of UFOs, it would be the best thing ever if a UFO actually did take the plane. But it doesn't do us much good because we have no way of knowing that.
It's called a SERPO. Yeah.
unless the UFOs come back in like 10 years and they're like, not only we're like, whoa, there's aliens, then like, yeah, we're aliens, and also remember this, and then the plane flies out.
Your plane's back, just like in Close Encounters.
Right.
With the,
and you're like, what? Yeah. Unless that happens, then I don't think we'll ever find out if aliens did it, because they're not going to be like, hey, by the way, you know that plane? We crashed it by accident. Sorry. Well, it was a weird story. It was a weird story. There's not much to it, though. I mean, it's kind of one of those, like, it's kind of like if it was a BOA audio show, it'd be like a one-and-done type thing. We can't really, really do it again. You know what I mean? It'd be like an
immediate
error.
You know what would be real interesting? I don't know if anybody's done it, is get like, a few remote viewers to do blind targets on it and see what happens. I'm sure somebody's done it.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have done it. That's the problem. It's probably...
Yeah.
Half of them are like, it's in Canada, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what else to make of it. I thought it was the biggest story of the year, just for the most fascinating and, like I said, weirdest. I don't think it was paranormal at all, but, you know.
No, but it was just fascinating that it just went on and on and on and on. You're like, oh, they're going to find it. They haven't found it yet. It's like 2 months later, they still haven't found it, and you're going, what?
Yeah. All right.
People can find anything now. They can't. I mean, you can't find everything. Well, there might be a way to do it. We just don't know. I heard years ago that the Navy can see to the bottom of every ocean with satellite technology. I have no idea if that's true, and I don't know what the resolution would be.
How can they see a face on Mars and they can't find a plane on Earth?
I don't know. I guess the face on Mars isn't underwater.
I guess so. I guess so. Yeah, and true to form, though, with our luck, they'll end up finding the plane, like, in a couple months or a couple weeks. It'll be like, oh, well, the biggest
people
story of
the year.
People
lost their families or their relatives.
Yeah, no, that obviously, yeah. I suppose, yeah, it would be great if they did find it as soon as possible. I don't even know if they're even doing a very good job looking for it anymore, or if they're even, like, trying, or if they're just, like, gone back to the drawing board with theories. I don't know anything about how they're actually trying to find it.
I do not know either. I just was thinking how weird it would be to, like, have somebody, like, your mother, father, sister, brother, or best friend or something just disappear off the face of the earth. You never hear from them again. You don't know what happened. So I think there was a – I just saw a post the other day about what's his name? One of the Rockefeller kids that disappeared in like the early 60s, the late 50s. He was off in like New Guinea looking for.
Yeah, I heard about this story.
Rockefeller was off in New Guinea looking for like primitive artwork to put in the Rockefeller Primitive Artwork Museum, and he disappeared once, and nobody could find him. And what happened to him? They thought he drowned, and like new evidence came up, and a film was made that he was eaten by cannibals.
Yeah. I heard the guy on Coast to Coast. It was a good show. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe there was somebody talking about on Coast to Coast, which I don't listen to anymore. Sorry to say. Well,
no.
Maybe I'm not sorry. I just don't. It's just not usually that interesting to me.
Okay. Well, we got that. That's our responsibility to put on an interesting show. So that's what we're doing here with the year in review. It's gonna get interesting now because we move away from the plane because there's nothing else to that. Do you want to predict? Actually. Do you have a prediction on when they find it, just so you can reap, profit points in case they do find it, like in May or something?
I don't know why, but I predict never.
Ah, okay.
You said that, yeah, because I don't even know if people are looking anymore. And if it is, it'll be inadvertently while looking for something else. You never know when that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, I don't know. That's my prediction is never or by accident, way in the future.
When we're like old men, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now, as I was teasing before, now it's going to get pretty
hairy.
I think so. Yeah, because we're going to get into the UFO world. That's kind of where we cut our teeth on this year in review show, and then it's expanded.
Yeah, the hair is growing. Okay.
Into all kinds of stuff. now I looked at all. Well, that's a complete lie. I did not look at all the big stories in ufology. But I perused them. I got to give credit, actually, to Alejandro Rojas at Open Minds because he put together this thing of, like, all the top videos and then underneath that a link to all the big stories. So he did all the work for me to actually have to look for these stories.
Yes. I think I looked at some of those. I started looking at the videos, but I stopped, and we'll discuss why.
But there are a few others actually that weren't in the list. This one I was surprised by because I think it's the biggest UFO story of the year. I'll go out on a limb, and that's the French UFO conference.
The closed private UFO conference in France put on by their equivalent of NASA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was had to be, you know, there's no argument in my mind that of any other story that could be as important as that one, or at least like as promising or, you know, as real as towards getting to the bottom of this UFO thing than this conference. And you know how I know it was really good? Because I was like reading some of the papers and stuff and I was like bored out of my mind.
I read abstracts of like three of them.
Right, I'll admit, that was an exaggeration. I read quite a few of them, and I've read the Jacques Vallée one for sure, and then what else did I read? I read a few of the other abstracts and stuff. It's all to catch folks up to speed, because Red Pill Junkie, our good friend, is in the chat room right now. He's asking about the thing. They can find out about it. There'll be links up in all of America. But just go to cnes-geipan.fr, and that should take you to it. But there's a more convoluted link that I'm going to send into the chat. Yeah. So the gist of it was like this surreptitious conference put on by the French NASA, as you said. So I got a little thrown off grabbing the link. What's that?
That makes me happy that it was surreptitious and closed.
I like I said, I think it's awesome. I think it was the greatest story of the year. It was great. And it was, like I said, it was the most promising. That's what we need. We need real scientists looking at this stuff. And it was a lot of, like, statistical work, a lot of stuff about databases, a lot of stuff about how to collect reports. And it was like, you know, and this is...
What do you want to make a bet that there wasn't a big blow-up alien sitting outside the conference? Probably not.
No, I have a feeling they left the aliens at home.
Yes.
Which is, it, you know, and to be like, to be, I guess, I won't mince words, to be a dick about it. It was a complete, like, indictment of the awfulness of the American ufology scene. Because there was only two people there from America, Jacques Vallée and Richard Haynes.
Yeah, and Vallée isn't even, I guess he's an American citizen, but he has, his roots are very firmly in the French.
Right. He was almost, exactly. So, I mean, to go even further, I think the only names that any people who follow ufology in America would even know, because I didn't know all the other people. I was like, who, you know, so.
I had heard of one of them, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Like 10, 12, something like that, more than that, presenters there.
Hmm. A whole array of speakers. It was crazy. It was the kind of thing you wish you could have gone to. It was like, shit,
yeah.
I wish,
I could have been to one Society for Scientific Exploration conference. And it was, if people from UFO conferences went to one of those, they would be bored out of their minds. Because what they're talking about is the same kind of thing that you hear about at, like, paranormal conferences, but they're talking about it in a way that uses statistics and testable hypotheses, and, you know, some of them say, well, we didn't really find anything here, but this part's interesting, and other people say, you know, somebody should replicate this because it seems like it's something that can be replicated, or, you know, I think Vallée spoke at the one I was at. I can't remember what he spoke about. It wasn't about UFOs.
The Internet.
Yeah, probably. So he what the point is that this boring stuff and this what Vallée was pushing, statistical analysis of all these different databases, that is probably something really important that it's surprisingly nobody has done yet. Vallée tried to do it in the 60s with a very limited database. Now, he's got a huge worldwide one, and he presented, I guess, his preliminary, you know, ideas about, we have this stuff, we're putting it in a database, or we have, now we just have to start looking at the data, massaging the data.
Figuring out what questions to ask.
Yeah, through different
great
filters, you know, finding out, you know, when things, you know, where, when, how, what kind of people these things cluster around, and get answers that way, which I think he mentioned a few years ago, and I hooked on to that, and I've been bitching and moaning about that for a couple of years now.
I have too. It's been a huge rallying cry on this show, statistical analysis of UFOs. So I was thrilled. I was like, holy shit, This is what I've been asking for. Someone to do a database. It's a lot of work, so you know it costs a lot of money. So thankfully he's doing it because I can't. But you know, and you just hope they can do something good with it, or else you know.
Well, what they're going to do probably is find out a bunch of stuff that doesn't interest most UFO fans and enthusiasts and all that in the least, because it won't really make any sense, and it won't be proof that there's people coming here from other planets and structured craft. It'll be just like, this is how it's affecting people, this is what people see, this is where most of it seems to happen, let's concentrate on these areas and see if we can, you know, if we make a guess that there is going to, it might be to the point where they can say at 2 o'clock or 2 a.m. in June on the around the 22nd in like Aurora, Colorado, there should be, based on all our statistics, there should be some weird things in the sky.
Right.
And if it happens, that will be amazing. I mean, that's just an example, and probably makes no, it probably isn't exactly what's going on, but as an example.
Yeah. No, I've used the same analogy on the I've used that almost exact same analogy on the show. Yeah, you know, so it'll be like a pregnant lady, and you know,
yeah, exactly.
Roanoke, Virginia is almost certainly going to see a UFO, you know, in her third trimester on a full moon.
Yeah, exactly. Or Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly. So now this dude in the chat room, I guess we'll talk about this, but it sounds like a bogus kind of story. It sounds like UFO porn in a way.
All right,
but
UFO porn.
Mentioned it. Actually, two people now have, so we'll talk about it in a minute.
Is everybody using that term now? Because I started pushing it like 5 years ago.
What's that?
UFO porn.
Oh, yeah. I use it in honor of you. I use it in, it's an homage because you're on the show. I never use it unless you're on.
I hear everything porn now, but first.
Oh.
2 years ago, I started. I don't know if I was the first one, but people say, oh, you know, there was this really cool sighting, or look at this video. It's like, that's just UFO porn.
I think food porn predates that. People taking pictures
probably.
Of their food.
Maybe that's where I got it from.
But this guy, two people here in the chat, they say the CIA noted via Twitter on Monday that it was responsible for at least half of UFO sightings in the 50s and 60s, somehow involving the YouTube program. Yeah, yeah. So this is big news. I guess new news is the best
way to
put it.
Yes, I saw that.
I haven't heard it yet.
And like a lot of people, and
that makes sense.
I think it's probably BS. Not total BS.
Not all of them. Yeah.
Craft landing in front of people, or like the Flatwoods thing, or you know, anything where there's not something streaking across the sky way higher than anything else, which is like the majority of UFO sightings.
Well, I was just thinking, actually, I was looking at this headline. This is a good litmus test to see what people think, you know. It's like CIA noted via Twitter Monday that it was responsible for at least half of UFO sightings in the 50s and 60s.
I'd like to see how they explain that.
Well, what I was going to say is well, that then in turn leaves at least half that they weren't responsible for.
Yeah, exactly.
So where are those coming from, you know? It's all it sounds...
There's other shit they were testing that they don't want to tell you about yet.
I guess, yeah. Eventually they run out of space in that window of UFO sightings. But it just seems – I don't know why they would even do that unless they were just trying to be, you know, snarky.
It's an early April Fool's joke. I don't know. I have no idea why they would say something like that. Although, you know, maybe there's some purpose to it. You know, they don't have to be a purpose to anything. But people – I was thinking about this before we came on the show, where people would say, you know, the government says this, or the government says that, or that other story about the NSA destroying, like, all of its non-redacted UFO files.
Yeah, I have that in my list here, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, did they, really? And two, non-redacted what? What was in there? Was it what everybody wants to see, or just BS that nobody cares about that they just threw out? Or... did they make this announcement trying to see what would happen or who would react or whatever? There's all kinds of possibilities instead of the obvious ones like, they're covering up aliens. There's like 1,000 other possibilities that has nothing to do with covering up aliens. And that's interesting to me.
Yeah. I don't even – I feel like they're just lying. I feel like they just like lie. They don't care. You know, yeah, or like, I think the one thing you said.
I don't know what the point of flat out lying about something as inconsequential as this, but not too many people care about.
I guess you're right. Well, from what I understand, I think John Greenwald really pursued him about it, and that's how it all came out. So they kind of, I think they were kind of painted into a corner somehow. But I'm not positive about how it all unfolded. So it wasn't like they just, because it's weird, because that CIA story says they just popped on Twitter and were like, hey,
yeah.
UFO folks, fuck you, haha. You know,
yeah.
It's you too. But with this thing, it sounds like NSA kind of had to have a response for Greenwald, and then they said that they lost all that stuff. So that,
or they
that
destroyed
part...
it or something. And the thing is, if something's important enough to them, invariably they're not going to lose it or destroy it.
Right. If people were trying to get it originally, they're not going to destroy it after the fact. So
yeah, if it's important enough to them. So apparently, either it was a huge mistake, or you know, that you can be a UFO person and say, oh, well, they destroyed it because they don't want anybody to know, and they've got the record somewhere else or something like that, and they just don't want to show them. Or somebody just didn't think of, you know, somebody made a decision, said this isn't important because it proves nothing, has nothing to do with us, and nobody here is interested in it, so let's just get rid of it. I talked to a guy at the NSA when I was working on my book, and he said that, I said, was there an actual interest in UFOs? He goes, there was amongst, like, people individually. And there was a little, like, document collection that would be passed around every month to all the people that are interested in UFO stuff if the NSA intercepted something about something to do with unidentified flying objects. And the people that were interested at the NSA, just informally, would look at it and say, you know. And basically it was just, you know, really high-level UFO reports. Or somebody in the government, or somebody, a spy who had been, you know,
the good stuff.
They had intercepted some communication or something like that. And it was basically, like I said, it was just like a little journal of UFO reports called from NSA sources. And that's, he says, I said, anything else? And, oh, I guess he could have been lying. But he said, no, it was just an informal interest, and there were people there that were interested in it. And that's the only thing I knew about it at the time I was there, which was like, I guess, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what to make of it, honestly. I just don't believe them. I feel like they just could... Because I don't know when this story came out. I need to look at that, actually. Do you have that in front of you when that...
No. I bet... Well, you said it was because of Greenwald. Maybe Greenwald was, like, poking them.
Yeah, that's what I think happened. I just don't know when it happened.
Bone, they probably said either lied or told them, look, we don't have it.
Yeah. Because I think you kind of touched on it just there, but the idea too is like, where's the outrage on that? Yeah, September 12th, 2014. So it's like 4 months. Like it never, you know, nobody cared. I guess is the point I'm trying to make. You know, they don't.
Nothing you can do about it. What are you gonna do? Yell at the NSA for destroying stuff that possibly had UFO reports in it?
Someone should. Someone should yell at them about it. You know, the media, sure, they get outraged about all kinds of other garbage. They should,
they don't affect policy, they don't affect people's daily lives, people don't live or die based on what happens with UFOs, not in general. So it's probably just, and plus, you know, as far as the media is concerned, and most people are concerned, it's just a joke, or not even a joke, but just something that's not really that important.
Exactly. That's the point I was trying to make. It's like you look at, you know, if we pull the camera really far back, it's a good you know, indication of where things stand. The NSA says they destroyed all this UFO stuff. Nobody fucking cares, man. You know, it didn't get into any major outlet or anything. So,
yeah,
or if it did, it was like one, you know, one mention like in the UK Telegraph, and then it never really went anywhere. You know, there was nobody like on CNN all upset about this.
No, well, there wouldn't be. You know what? We're saying this and I'm thinking about it. The only thing that would be the thing that would be a tragedy about it is what we were talking about a little earlier. It could have added to the database, maybe.
How so?
Well, if there's details about, you know, sightings or things.
Oh,
that happen,
I see what you're saying. Yes.
It could have been thrown in that big database hopper, which there should be a worldwide, easily accessible internet site for anybody, and maybe, you know, donation, like you got to pay $20 a year or something so they can keep it going.
Yeah.
Anybody to search, use, and mess with the and play with the data. I think that'd be great. That actually, I think, shouldn't be exclusive.
That's the thing I'm worried about, too, with the thing, because if the French, to throw back to the French UFO conference, it's kind of, like, exciting and also frustrating and kind of makes me worried in a way where it's like, this sounds awesome. I love what you folks are doing over there at French NASA. I want to know more. And their attitude is kind of like, you know what, we're just going to do our thing. We don't really care if you know more. You know, it's like
they really don't care if you know more because they don't want to turn it into a circus and turn it into what it comes.
Right. No, I don't blame them. It's just like,
I understand.
You know,
I think
I'm a victim of circumstance here. Yeah. You know, it's like
I like less that it gets turned into something where 100 people with stupid ideas start messing it up.
Oh yeah, obviously. Well, that's why it was invite only.
Yeah. I totally understand that.
I'm just saying,
and
I want an invite.
I applaud it. I wish that stuff would happen here. But then everybody would get all mad.
They could never do it here. Yeah, it would be a
blah, blah, blah.
Right. No, because here you have to worry about selling tickets.
Well, that was a government thing, too. It was the French government. So.
Right.
Which was kind of amazing, too, as you say.
Yeah, the whole thing was awesome. The whole thing was like the most promising, best, coolest UFO news of the year. I felt like we jumped off of that a bit too soon. But yeah, that was – we need to know more about it. I wish they would talk more about it. I should work on finding out more about it, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, I should – in furtherance of getting certain people on my show that I never have had on my show.
I'm going to get that Rosetta Stone for French.
Yeah. Learn it in about 4 or 5 months and then get all these French guys on.
Right, exactly. Now you see. This one, I just copied the headline. I think I remember it vaguely. We could probably spend like 5 minutes on it. It is the definition of UFO porn. It is Roswell UFO researcher claims to have picture of aliens. I got a lot of buzz. I remember seeing it. It's a picture, so that gets, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. But it didn't really strike me as anything. I rolled my eyes when I saw it. And
what, is this the slides or something else?
I think it was the slides, yeah. Let me see. I'll get his name. So,
Paul Kimball said it was the dumbest UFO story, lamest UFO story of the year. I will give you some background. I had Nick Redfern on my show, and we talked about this. Like, I haven't posted yet, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago, or maybe a little bit longer, somebody, he said, with a Texas accent, called him up and said, I have these images of the Roswell alien, or I have images of an alien, something like that. How much do you think I could get for them? That was his question.
Yeah, this is the Tom Carey and Don Schmidt thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know the details of it, but I know it was highly controversial.
Yeah, well, it still is. And then a few months later, something like that, Carey and Schmidt and the rest of these Brigalia or whatever, these Dream Team people, Kevin Randall, got in touch with Nick, and Nick said that he told them, you know, I guess the name the guy had given him, maybe. But anyway, just details about certain things about the slides and about where they'd come from and all that, that nobody else knew, and Nick knew them. So apparently it was the same person that had, you know, sent them the slides. So the first thing that whoever it was did with these slides, whatever they are, was trying to see how much money they could make off them. And the next thing they did was contact a bunch of UFO researchers. And I think Paul and a couple of people have pointed this out. If you really had some real slides of some aliens, if you wanted to make money, I think the last people you'd go to is UFO researchers.
They were trying to make money. They're going to sell them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the guy was trying to ask Nick how much money he could make off those kind of slides, and it turned out it was either the same person or knew the same people that sent the slides to the Roswell people, researchers.
Yeah, once you get money involved, you really...
Yeah, and the other thing is they keep saying, once the time is right and we've got our ducks in a row and we've done the research and our due diligence and et cetera, we will release the slides. And it's been like, they've said that like 2 years ago.
So no one's seen the slides? Who's seen the slides?
No, nobody outside their little group.
Okay.
And so either, you know, I'm pretty sure they exist. I mean, they're not going to lie about actually having the slides. But I don't know why they don't want to show them to people. Is that because they're trying to make money off them? Is it because they really, I'm not sure if they're fake or not yet? I mean, you know, the real thing to do is be just to either take them somewhere and get them analyzed or just throw them out in public and say, look, this is what they look like.
Crowdsource them, yeah.
Yeah, crowdsource them and see if anybody with any kind of expertise, I mean, apart from all the noise and junk and craziness they get.
Yeah, the ultimate peer review. Put it out there for the peers to
see if somebody can, you know, make head or tail what's going on with them. Because it's, you know, I've got tapes of Roswell witnesses that haven't been heard in years, and I just want to transfer them to audio, I mean, on the internet, and just let people listen to them and put to rest maybe some, like, rumors about what people said at certain times.
That would be awesome. I was just going to ask you, in light of this, you know, these claims to have the pictures of the aliens, I presume they were from Roswell. I don't believe this story, so it sounds kind of like bullshit to me. So I don't really. But
well,
do you
they
think
did say that the film had the right, like, on the edge of the film, there's edge numbering that they put on there to show, you know, what stock or what, you know, what lot the film came from. And that way you can establish a year. And apparently it is 19, you know, that film was produced, that serial number was produced, or edge number was produced in 1947. The problem is,
you can take a picture of the film that's like 57,
67, or like, it's every 10 or 20 years they go through the same numbers.
Ah, well, that's ridiculous then.
Yeah.
It's probably from 1987.
Yeah, maybe. Well, there's other things you can tell, like maybe how old the film is. I'll tell you a really strange thing that happened once with I can't remember his name. Bob. Oh my God! Him and his son have all like the later MJ-12 stuff.
Oh, shit! Now you made me forget.
See, I can't remember names anymore.
No. He wrote the UFO crashes. Robert Wood.
Yeah, Dr. Bob Wood.
Yeah, his dad.
He was at the Scientific Exploration Conference, and he was showing these original documents that came in some of this, like, extra, I don't know if it was that Thomas Cantwheels extra MJ-12 stuff, but it was some of the extra MJ-12 stuff they'd gotten.
Yeah.
And what they'd done is they'd, like, analyzed the paper. I sat there with him, and he showed me the paper, and it had little holes in it where they'd taken samples of the paper so they could take samples of the ink and the paper stock and
Jeez.
The pulp and all that and have it analyzed. And he said it definitely was from the time that it said it was. And it did talk about what are we going to do with aliens and this and that. What do you do with that? Does that mean that the government actually, you know, that there's a – so either the government had knowledge of UFOs or aliens or something like that at the time or were concerned about it in a secret way, as in MJ-12, and people think that's what it is, or they wanted somebody desperately to think so.
Yeah. Like what? If you had a shitload old paper? I don't know.
No, I mean at the time. Because
I see what you're saying.
Paper apparently was produced – printed at the time that the, you know, that they said they were, that, you know.
That's what I mean. I'm trying to figure out how they could do it, how they could fake it otherwise, unless you had like a bunch of,
yeah,
bunch of old paper.
Maybe there's a way to fake it.
I don't know. I'll
bring up stuff that, like, you know, that I don't agree with, because I will bring up inconvenient facts just because I wonder about it. I wonder what was going on. If that is true, you know, was there really, and I don't think it said MJ-12 on it, but it was a document having to do with some alien thing or having to do with extraterrestrials or how to deal with it or something from that period. So maybe they were concerned about it then or knew something about it, or they wanted somebody to think they did.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Maybe it was leaked to, you know, Russia or China or something like that, just to make them think they'd gotten something and that the United States knew about alien technology or.
Well, I'll backtrack a sense, because I guess I don't know based on what I've been hearing here in general. I don't know if those pictures are bullshit, but the handling of them is. That's probably the better way to put it. You know, I have no idea if the pictures, they could be very well be real now that I think about it, but it's like if.
Yeah.
If someone has a picture of an alien and they can verify it, you know, get it out there. Even if they can't, if they can't verify it, get it out there anyway, because maybe somebody else can, or they can disprove it.
Yeah,
you know, there's
so
no
they,
point
you know,
sitting on it. There's no good, you know.
Yeah.
You don't create art to put it in the closet, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe he took it to the UFO people because they said, look, we can get somebody to analyze it and we'll pay for it and all that. Because whoever was trying to either release the film or hoax it couldn't pay for it. So maybe that's why he went that route. I don't know. And nobody else was like, yeah, come on. Pictures of aliens, whatever. So he had to go to a UFO researcher.
Well, still.
Still, yeah. It's been handled very clumsily, to say the least.
Exactly. All right, what else? The other thing I have here is, for some reason, this got a lot of press. It's kind of like this. I'm going to use this to get on a soapbox. The story is Bill Clinton going on Jimmy Kimmel and being asked about UFOs, I think, in Area 51, and he gave kind of a jokey answer and got a lot of press and shit. And I guess my complaint is just like, these things happen all the time. It shouldn't be news. It feels like the folks, those of us who are in the UFO field, we're like the comic book nerds who know all this stuff. And then, you know, the mainstream media, when they report on this, like, Bill Clinton story, they're like, when they get all those shit wrong when they make a movie about Thor or whatever, and we're like, wow, you know, come on, the hammer should have a raccoon paw, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see the what analysis you get here on the Year in Review show, folks. That's how I saw the Bill Clinton on Jimmy Kimmel story. I kind of shook my fist where I was like, oh, man, come on with this. It's stupid. This is ridiculous. Like, these things happen all the time. You never find anything out. It's not some clue to some other thing. It's just like a pain in the ass. So, I don't know. Off the soapbox.
No, well, I really don't care what any of these people say about anything because it's like the disclosure thing, you know, or a lot of UFO researchers like, well, when we find out that aliens are coming here from other planets and the government admits it, then we can all say, I told you so, and then everybody will think we're heroes. No, that's not what's going to happen, and it just isn't. If it becomes important, UFO researchers will be the last people anybody's going to talk to. I have both been saying this, and a lot of other people have been saying this for a long time.
Yeah, that's a caveat. That's a guarantee, an assurance, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the way that they say it is, they'll say, see, that's what we told you so. No, it's going to be, you know, what does Neil deGrasse Tyson think of this?
Right. Why?
They're not going to ask what Richard Dolan thinks of this. They're not going to ask what Stanton Friedman thinks of this. They're not going to ask what Linda Howe thinks of this.
Only in a kitschy sort of way, they treat them now,
yes,
unfortunately.
Exactly.
As they treat the subject now, they'll treat the people who liked it before in the sort of kitschy sort of way in the same sense, you know.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way, but I think you're exactly right. And not that I agree with any of the people totally that I've just mentioned, but I would feel sorry for the field as a whole if that happens.
Well,
I can see why it would happen, but it was just a bad taste, you know?
Yeah, no, it's lousy because I like all these people, you know, relatively. But at the same time, I find the field in the sense where I find myself almost cheering against it sometimes because I'm just like shaking my head at it where I'm like, oh, Jesus, this. You know, I hate to sort of beat the drum, but it goes back to that conference and everything. It's like, as I said, the American UFO scene, you know, it's getting to, it's turning into professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So.
I hate to say it. It may be too democratic.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think the information should probably be democratic, but the interpretation of it, maybe not. I don't know. Well, not in the sense that, like you said, like peer-reviewed, like a whole bunch of people who have expertise in some area can call BS, you know?
Yeah.
Like your statistical analysis makes no sense as a statistician would look at it, that kind of thing. Or maybe a statistician would look at this stuff and say, you know, This seems legitimate, and if this data comes from a place that is legitimate and reliable, then maybe we should take it seriously. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't even think I made any sense just now. Let's go on.
Bill Clinton on Jimmy Kimmel. That's my main concern. That's my main annoyance. Well, it feels like did I have that anywhere else in the notes? Yeah, well, it just feels like that, you know, the Jimmy Kimmel thing, it just kind of still embodies this whole idea that the UFOs are still on the outside looking in as far as people taking them seriously and stuff. It's kind of a
yeah. Well, it's going to be that way until the attitude about the UFOs changes, and that's not going to come from UFO researchers, and it's not going to come from Hollywood, and it's not going to come from the government.
Well,
and I'm not sure what that leaves, except for possibly the way we look at reality would have to change, or the phenomenon itself would have to change in a way that was more understandable or obvious to us.
I think the latter may be the case, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I am more on the side of we have to change the way we look at things and accept and research things and accept proof.
Well, you know, it probably has to be like a Venn diagram where, you know, the two sides haven't quite meshed yet, you know.
Yeah, you know, something like that. But I think really, really basic things have to change before the way the phenomenon is treated by at least, you know, Western society and media and all that changes.
Mm. Okay. I had a thought that ran away from me, but it just came back. That I'll close the book on the Bill Clinton thing with a better analogy
okay.
than I had before. In the sense that to you and me and Red Pill Junkie and the folks in the chat room and the folks listening who've been following this for a long time, we know that Bill Clinton already talked about all this stuff in his book, like or the guy's book that wrote the book that was working for him or whatever, and Bill Clinton asked him to look into UFOs.
Yeah.
It was already a story like a decade ago. But
Stephanopoulos?
What's that?
George Stephanopoulos, his press guy?
No, I think it was his chief of staff or something like that.
Oh, okay, that's right. You're right, you're right.
And so that's the annoying part. That's the part where I was sort of likening UFO folks to comic book geeks, where it's like, we know
yeah.
this, and yet the mainstream media, they report this whole thing about him going on Jimmy Kimmel, and like, don't even mention that part. It's like, you guys are so far off of what the fuck's really going on.
Yeah.
That it's so frustrating. Like, if everybody was just on the same page, for God's sakes, you know.
Yeah, that's how I felt about X-Files. I'd watch people say, don't you like the X-Files? Like, no. Well, why not? Because I'd watch it and see how much cooler it could have been if they had really concentrated on the part of the thing that interested me.
Yeah.
So that's very selfish. But, yeah, that's why I hardly ever watched any of them.
What else? Let's try and just stay as far off of this one as possible, but I want to mention it because it's in keeping with the year in review. The Stan Romanek story, guy got arrested for having allegedly for having some things on his computer he shouldn't have. We'll just leave it at that. I don't even want – the whole thing is just like gross.
What do you get arrested for having on your computer? There you go.
Yeah, exactly. The whole thing is just horrifying.
He wasn't
going to
blow anything up.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, salacious material, let's say.
Yes.
and what –
that guy's a train wreck anyway, so
right.
It doesn't really matter.
I guess the whole thing that bothered me was just, like, people rushing to this guy's defense. It's like, just don't get involved. Like, that's why I don't even want to talk about it, you know? It's like this, like looking at his wife's page or whatever when it first happened. She's like, you know, this is all part of the government, blah, blah, blah. And like, people are like, we support you. All of ufology supports you. That's what someone wrote. And I was like, dude, slow your roll, man.
Yeah.
Like, all of ufology does not support these people. I don't know what their story is. I don't want anything to do with them. That's the, you know, period, end of story.
Yeah.
So,
story was Balloon Boy. Just think of that.
Right. Let them get their shit together and let fucking it all shake out before we start proffering.
Well, Romanek was Balloon Boy, right?
No. He was Alien in the Window.
Okay, never mind.
Alien in the Window.
Yeah.
Another
yeah, Alien
hit.
In the Window. That's perfect. I used to have a T-shirt from, what was it called? Alien Workshop Skateboard People, and there was an actual picture of an alien in a window. This was like 10, 15 years ago.
Was it the same alien in the window? Maybe he just reappropriated.
Well, it was a big-headed alien looking like through a door with a window in it.
Jesus. Yeah, so like I said, the whole
thing.
That
shirt, I don't know what happened to it. It was one of the coolest things ever. It wasn't anything obvious. It wasn't anything... really, it wasn't really something that you just wouldn't think of that as something you would associate with a skateboard company. And here's this, they call it Alien Workshop, and that one of their T-shirts is a degraded video picture of an alien looking through a window. And that when I saw that Romanek thing, it reminded me of that.
Weird.
And also, you know, another thing is, like, here's one more video of something that just doesn't look real. The thing is, if anybody has anything that's real, and this is a point that's been made before too, nobody's going to know it.
Well,
everything looks so stupid. And the thing is, if somebody did have something that was real, it probably would be not impressive whatsoever.
Well, the whole thing is, you touched on this, actually. You've been wanting to talk about this. We'll leave behind the Romanek story. You can't,
yeah.
You know, you can't win. That's a no-win story, folks. That's a no-win story, so, you know.
Yeah, I don't even know why he's still in the news. It's just kind of...
Well, it's the year in review.
Why bother?
It's the year in...
You're right.
and I wanted to take to task the crazy folks that are like, you know, we stand behind you 100%. It's like, that's not how you're supposed to look at the world.
Good. Have fun.
To videos. So we'll segue to videos because you mentioned it. As I said, Alejandro Rossi put up the best videos. I've already kind of given up on videos in general.
Yeah, me too.
But it kind of segues into the whole idea that, like, you know, we get into... I think someone's impressed by one of the voices I do. I do lots of voices on the show, Sean. I do lots of voices. Videos, it's a mess, dude. The whole thing's a mess. There's too many videos, but we're entering into this, like, news cycle where it's all videos. Videos all the time. Videos and weird pictures. It's like we're turning into a very, like, technological, visceral culture where, like, it's always, seems like every month, if not, like, twice a month, it's, like, the weird picture. You know, is it this? Is it that? Well, this is on Mars. This is somewhere.
Or running across the kitchen floor behind the kid video. I like that one.
Or a ghost video, you know. It's like, or you get a ghost video that's like.
Yeah.
So it's a weird, I don't know, you know. It's like that. It's really frustrating if you really look at the, if you're like us and you want to get to the bottom of all this. Cop videos, Chris Pinio pointed out. Yeah, those dash cam videos. Fucking videos everywhere, man.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. In a sense, because back in the day, like, videos was one of the pillars of this whole research field. UFOs, Bigfoot, everything else. It was like, if you had a video in 75, you shot to the top.
You couldn't manipulate the image. All you could manipulate was what it was shooting.
Hmm. So now we're in a world where videos is completely degraded as a possible evidence tool. It's very frustrating.
Yes, it is. And the thing is that the fun, impressive, I want to believe videos are all the fake ones.
Oh, yeah.
All the ones that the ones that I saw, the few I saw in Open Minds, are the indistinct blob videos with shaky cam, which proves that people are taking videos of some indistinct, I mean, what looks like on the camera, indistinct shaky blobs.
Right.
Which proves really nothing to anybody, except people. The people that don't want to believe in it say it's an indistinct shaping blob that proves nothing. And the people that want to believe it say, look, that's a UFO, a structured alien craft from another planet.
Yeah. Well, that
leaves us, which proves nothing to anybody, really.
Yeah. No one's, you just don't get good videos like that unless the things on the ground landed. So,
I mean, the only video that I ever really liked that I keep thinking of and going back to, and people have probably seen it, is the one that was shot from a hotel room in Vegas, like in the early 90s or late 80s. And all it showed were these little, like, lighted dots. And I don't think this was faked. All it showed were these little lighted dots flying up over this like little peak, like near Nellis Air Force Base, and then doing the classic falling leaf thing.
Weird.
They're like four or five lights, like shooting up in the air, and then they would like drift down and go back and forth like a falling leaf. The classic falling leaf thing. I always looked at that, and it's, you know, it's not some structured craft looking thing. It's basically lights moving around in a strange way, and I've never seen another video like that. I've never seen a falling leaf video. I'm sure there's a few of them, but that's the first one I ever saw. And it's like, yeah, that's really weird. I wonder, you know, if that's some, you know, U.S. government thing, what the hell purpose does it have of shooting up in the air and then falling down like a floating leaf? Who knows?
Who knows? To impress some sexy woman back at base.
I guess, but anyway, like I said,
why does anyone do anything?
nobody's ever really had a video with the falling leaf motion, which is a classic UFO sighting motion.
This is true. This is true. Well, at least that I've seen. But I've given up on looking at UFO videos, so I don't know.
I have too. I don't want to look at them anymore. For a while, I was posting on UFO Mystic when I was doing that. I was posting my favorite faked videos. And people were like, why are you posting these fake videos? Like, because they're cool and fun. Why should I post videos of blobs?
Well, this is the other thing, you know. It's like people, I'm sure by now they know that we are kind of cynical about all this. But this here's like the reality check. It's like we're not saying that all these videos are bullshit, you know. The 10 best UFO videos of the year may all be legitimate UFOs. They may all be real alien spacecraft. But it's like, what do you do with that? Where can you go with that?
You
know? You
can't do anything with it because it's not going to impress anybody anymore.
Exactly. So
the only thing that's going to impress somebody is either having it happen to them personally or having an authority figure say that we have decided that this is real. And I don't know if any authority figure is ever going to say that, at least the way it is now. It's at a stalemate. It's been at a stalemate since the beginning of the UFO era.
Yeah. So videos.
Yeah, not the videos, but just the whole idea revealing what the thing is, because I don't think anybody knows for sure, and it's different for everybody. So how can they reveal something that's different for everybody? I think that's something that I think Willie Strieber might have brought something up like that in one of his books.
I don't expect him to reveal anything anymore.
You know? I don't either, because if the thing is, I think they're caught in a conundrum. They want us to release these files or release what we know. If we release what we know, it's not going to agree with what they say, and they're going to say cover up anyway, and people can't handle it, and it doesn't make any sense. So why bother? Why bother with all the noise? I'm sure it doesn't make sense to a lot of people, even if they think it is aliens coming from another planet. What do you do with that? They can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
They can't stop it. They can't make it start. They can't affect it. It's just there. So, you know, why bother with the headache of bringing that up and saying we can't do anything about it?
Yeah. I mean, more people should video UFOs, I guess, but try and get good videos. And get videos that make a difference. I don't know. I don't know what's going to make a difference. It's hard to
say. I don't
know
what's going to make a difference either. You know what's going to make a difference is, I don't know, for video. I guess like walking up to a ship and having something come out and do something.
Right. Yeah, have it do something. Have like it shoot off a light.
Like five different cameras with 100 people watching, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Right, right. Flies over like the Super Bowl and it's like everybody in it. Well, that's another weird part. You'd think, you know, they have like these outdoor venues and stuff like that, and with all the people with cameras and everything, it hasn't happened yet in the sense where, you know, clearly the UFOs, I had Stan on for the holiday thing, I mentioned to him, it's like, we don't know a lot of stuff about UFOs. We've clearly established we don't know most of anything about UFOs, but one thing we know for certain is that the UFOs don't want us to know about them. Like, we can say that beyond a shadow of a doubt, because the UFOs would let us know that they're out there. So,
really?
So
I think it's equally or more so we're in our own way. I don't think we have the wherewithal right now to understand what it is that's presented to us.
I guess.
The part that we can see and that we can comprehend in the way that we comprehend it.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. But I think it's still dependent on the UFOs in the sense that they could catch us up to speed. You know what I mean? They have no desire to come in and catch us up to speed.
Well, I wrote a thing once. I was saying maybe they exist like waves and wind and stuff. They just exist, and we put our meaning upon them.
That's entirely possible. I guess I'm looking at it from the ETH perspective, but
if you look at it from the ETH perspective, yeah, what you're saying makes sense. They just don't feel like, you know, communicating with us. Or it's like, you know, I'm going to communicate, and this has been said from the beginning, I'm going to communicate to this ant that I'm trying to communicate to.
Right.
<You know? laughs> How do I do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
My frame of reference is completely different from whatever these things are that inhabit this planet in this dimension and, you know, in this time frame or whatever the hell.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, I like what you said about it being like the wind and stuff. It could very well be like that. It could be something that's not even trying to communicate with us.
I think they've unhooked, whatever it is unhooked from time. It's kind of like a ghost. They've unhooked from time and maybe from space, and they can, and we just get glimpses of shadows of whatever affects us in this dimension and the way that we can see things. And that intelligence, that's their little brush along us, like, you know, like the wind hitting you or something. You go, what was that? You know?
I think I was just to, I was on a roll of a point, and then I went off on a tangent of a different note. And so back up to the video part where it's like, you have all these people with cameras and you have these like large events and you never see a UFO over those or anything. Maybe that would be maybe the video that would change things, but it wouldn't change things because like it would only be in the news for 48 hours and then it would kind of go away. So.
Yeah, but the thing is it just flew over and a bunch of people saw it and they couldn't explain it. So there's going to be 40,000 people that saw something that they can't explain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess I'm just saying that you get multiple videos. But even then, like I said, they probably wouldn't be great videos, you know, and then it would just get kind of written off. So it's very frustrating.
It would land in the middle of a football game or a soccer game or a baseball game.
Well, just hover over, not even land. So it has to be like mysterious enough whether they could write it off. Otherwise, then the game's over. So like it just floats on over the, you know, I don't know, the world.
Which is why I said a little bit earlier that maybe it has to do with an individual view of things much more than a collective view. And the way we look at things is collectively, so it's, you know, it's one of those things where somebody says, I've experienced a spiritual enlightenment, or I've seen a UFO, or I've seen Bigfoot, or whatever, or a ghost. You can't explain that adequately to somebody that hasn't had that experience.
Yeah.
You don't have the language to explain it to them, and what you do is already degraded what the experience is.
Deep stuff.
If it's close enough.
Yeah. I'm left looking here to jump off points. Let me see if there's anything.
Well, what else is on your list there of?
We're at the hour mark, so maybe we'll jump off of UFO because we could talk. We could do a whole UFO show, but
yeah, of course, and we have.
I know. Well, we'll talk at the end of the show because you got your 10th anniversary coming up here on the show, so we got to do something to celebrate this summer. But
okay.
So there's a whole bunch of other stories. So we'll move on from UFOs because like Greg's saying, who knows what to do about it? We can't, you know.
Oh, great. Now I'm not going to have an opinion about anything. Go ahead.
We're left in the same place we were at the end of 2013, folks. We're still trying to figure out what the hell this thing is all about.
We can be cynical, but the thing is, if you've been listening to both Tim and I, there is hope and I don't know what's the word, not totally cynical, like, there's something going on. We're interested in it. We continue to be interested in it, but we continue to be a lot less interested in all the junk that goes along with it.
Exactly. It's a results-driven perspective. That's really, like I said at the beginning, you know, it's we're looking. We think there's something probably there, and we want to know what the hell it is. So the people who are doing good work trying to figure it out, we applaud them. But you know,
yeah, and I like talking to them, and you like talking to them on your show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And in any field, not just like UFOs, but any paranormal thing, or not even maybe paranormal stuff. So let's go ahead.
All right, so the Bigfoot year. There really wasn't much to it. I felt like Bigfoot was still obviously a big story. There were big Bigfoot stories, but I really didn't follow them like enough to even talk about them too much. The only Bigfoot story...
I hadn't heard this one.
What's that?
And I hadn't heard this one you mentioned.
Which one?
You said that there was like some other quasi hoax or something.
Oh yeah, the guy who did the hoax, the big hoax, where they had the press conference, not Biscardi, but one of his underlings, the two guys from Georgia. Apparently, he's perpetuated more hoaxes, and then this year he said he had a Bigfoot body and he was going to bring it on tour, and it got like a ton of mainstream publicity to the point where it was a lot like that Bill Clinton Jimmy Kimmel thing, where you're like, Jesus, you know, and even the stories would be like...
How many times did he have to scream wolf, you know?
Yeah, and even the stories would be like, he claims he has a Bigfoot body, and, you know, it's sort of like the second to last or last paragraph would be like, you know, this guy made news in 2007 when he hoaxed a Bigfoot. And it's like, well, what the... it's like, well, why the hell are you even reporting on this? Just because it's like Rick Dyer is the guy's name. Just to make...
Yeah.
You know, people look silly or people look bad or make fun of people and, you know, to dismiss the whole thing. And, it, like, That's no good, man. That's no good. So it was a bad sign for UFO for Bigfoot.
Everybody.
Last year, you know. But Bigfoot's still super popular, I find. I feel like Bigfoot's moved ahead of ghosts as sort of the paranormal du jour.
Yeah, I don't know. There was some vampire stuff for a little while, but ghosts and Bigfoot UFOs are the big three, and they just keep going on and on and on. And they go through fashions. And
yeah, but I feel like when we first started talking, it was ghosts, ghosts, ghosts on the TV, and now it's like Bigfoot, Bigfoot, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Seems like Bigfoot's a little more in with the zeitgeist at the time. UFOs is still a distant third, sadly. But that's
there's only so many ways you can attach a bunch of night vision cameras on booms around people's faces and have them looking around going, "What was that?"
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's
what was that? A Bigfoot? What was that? A UFO? What was that? A ghost?
Aside from that, I guess there's a guy in Canada. He's making a lot of noise about Bigfoot. And then there's a lot of drama. Like, I completely got out of the Bigfoot scene because there's a lot of drama. People get very vehement about it to the point where I was like, this is kind of weird that people get so passionate about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But this dude, he said he had a bunch of Bigfoot sightings. His name's, Todd Standing. I don't know. He sort of keeps percolating in the news, but the general consensus, I think, from the folks who are sort of our perspective are kind of very cynical about the whole thing, but he keeps generating publicity. That's the thing. This field, this Bigfoot field seems to be all about sort of like generating publicity even more so than UFOs nowadays, it seems. It's really kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anybody's ever going to find a real live flesh and blood Bigfoot because they haven't yet. So what the hell is going on? There's more people looking every year. They find hair and evidence and all that, and then the hair turns out to be either some animal they know or inconclusive or it's been contaminated or whatever the hell. I've never heard any, this is hair from some hominid or a DNA sample from some hominid that's never been seen before, and we can't – well, actually, a couple of people have said that. And we can't identify it, but it is in the primate family and that's it. But you don't have one in a cage somewhere or, somewhere where a few people can look at it or everybody can look at it. So
right.
I don't think it's ever going to go any further. It's kind of like UFOs. It's just you can't predict where it's going to happen. The only thing you have is some indistinct video, maybe some physical traces, and a bunch of witnesses.
Well, I will say this, though.
There, but nobody knows what it is.
As opposed to ghosts and UFOs, I think that Bigfoot is – I'm going to kind of go ETH the Bigfoot here, but, with the idea that Bigfoot's just an animal, we'll leave out the interdimensional part. If Bigfoot's just an animal, if Bigfoot gets hot as a topic, then it's good because this increases the chances that we will find it. So if the longer it heats up, I guess, the better it is for them finding a Bigfoot.
Yeah, well, either it's a paranormal animal, which means it's not physical all the time, which I think, or it's a lot smarter than we think it is, and it knows how to cover its tracks, like they'll bury their dead or something like that, so nobody will ever find a dead Bigfoot anywhere.
Right. It's certainly elusive. It's definitely elusive. It's very, I find it, I always go back to the Bigfoot because I find it so fascinating, but it was kind of a down year in a way because it was sort of a lot of churning. There wasn't really anything that I thought was really
nothing in a new
exciting
direction or a new thing.
Yeah,
or
especially
a new twist on it that we haven't seen before.
Right, coming off the year we had talking about Dr. Sykes and all that stuff, with the DNA tests and it was like 2013 was all about Bigfoot DNA. 2014 was not really, you couldn't really follow that. It was a tough act to follow, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, and I don't think, like I said, I don't think anybody's ever going to – it will be unsolved, I think, forever.
Right.
I really think that nobody's ever going to be able to bring in a dead Bigfoot. I don't think it's going to happen because why has it happened up to now? No evidence whatsoever and no dead Bigfoot. You see people have found dead bears, dead deers, dead – bears are really rare. You can't find too many dead bears in the wilderness, but people find them. I don't know why that is. I looked online once. It's like, what is the record for finding, deceased bears in the forests and stuff? It's really spotty. But they found them. Nobody's ever found a dead Bigfoot, ever, ever, ever.
Yeah. So
why is – I don't know. Oh, you know what? The funniest thing about Bigfoot that one of the researchers told me when I got him, like, alone, not at a conference or anything, just, like, talking, this guy said Bigfoot mimics people.
Yeah, we talked about this before. Yeah, he swears at people and shit. He takes on their voices.
Yeah, they like a parrot, except with, like, some intelligence, like making fun of people.
I've never heard that anywhere, though. Did this guy tell you this on, like, the QT, or is this, like, written somewhere? Cause
He just told me personally when I was talking to him. And
I'd
he
like
didn't
to
say,
more.
Like, don't tell anybody this, but he just said...
Yeah,
no,
obviously.
About
that, clearly.
This, but a lot of researchers talk about this, and I've experienced it myself. He said we lost a guy when we were out camping... but he finally came back. But we were out, like, looking for him, going, you know, hey, Bob, or whatever his name was. Hey, Dave. I was like, Dave, where are you, you know? And in the middle of the night, they said something came crashing through the camp, and it was saying, hey, Dave, hey.
Jesus.
And they were like, what the hell? They thought it was somebody there messing with them, and they realized it was a big, stinky, hairy, Bigfootish thing saying, hey, Dave.
Oh, God.
Before that, they thought it was somebody messing with them. They said, "Ah, Dave, oh, fuck off, Dave." And they said the thing, whatever it was, said, "Oh, fuck off, Dave."
Jesus. That's so weird, man.
So either that's a really funny, like, messing with me tall tale, or, like, part of the Bigfoot thing that nobody knows about, which I think is hilarious. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I got to find out more about this.
What does that mean? What does that tell you? I don't know.
I got to look at, yeah, that's just fucking weird, man. That's just really weird. I remember you telling us that last year, and it was like, I still don't know what to make of that. I should have asked more people. We should put a call out here. People who know about this.
I love that thing.
Get us some info on that, because it's really weird. But as far as the Bigfoot goes, yeah, I don't know. The Red Pill Junkie asked about we had a show in October, I don't know, you may be familiar, I don't know, but Adam Davies came on, and he came on with Laurie Simmons, and they revealed about how Brian Sykes, who did the Bigfoot DNA, the Yeti DNA tests in 2013, he went out and did like a secret expedition to where she believes she communes with the Bigfoot, and he apparently, became a believer, let's say, in the Bigfoot, because it was so clear that there was something going on there. That's probably the best. You really have to listen to the interview, but, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth. And that's because what Red Pill Junkie asked is pertinent, I think. I was going to mention it sort of at the end of the show, and that was that, you know, what this Sykes guy, he's supposed to be writing about what happened in his book that's coming out next year.
Yeah.
So the big question is, what is this guy going to say about this story? Because... it's pretty fantastic. Like, he was out there, to give you sort of a really brief thumbnail, and I'm really not doing it justice, like, he came out with Adam Davies to this ravine or whatever, where this lady apparently can talk to the Bigfoot, like, says shit, and the Bigfoot hits sticks and stuff. And Sykes, you know, a lot of, I guess, stuff happened that you know, convinced him pretty much that there was a Bigfoot there. But they didn't get any DNA, which made it even weirder, and they tried all these, like, things to do DNA.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't want to put words in his mouth. That's the question. Did he become a believer out of the whole thing, or is he going to come out? What if the book says that all this is, like, crazy and that he thinks he was duped or something? I don't know. I'd be surprised if he says that, but it's like we haven't heard any comment from him on this really interesting story that he commissioned some kind of expedition and you know, went looking for the Bigfoot.
How long ago was this?
Like a year and a half ago. So
he hasn't said anything about it yet?
No, it was a secret until October.
But that's it. He just said he went on the expedition and they were going to...
Well, no, Adam Davies talked about it and had pictures and stuff. So it definitely happened. I mean, he has emails. And so I'd be stunned if it turns out if this guy's like, no, I don't even know who the Adam Davies is, you know. But that would make the story even crazier because then I'd be like, well, what the hell is going on here, Adam? So that I'm anxiously awaiting what Sykes will say about all this, but I'm afraid he's going to just dismiss it or downplay it. I'm afraid that's going to happen because I'm a...
Yeah, because once again, there's, you know, what, somebody went out and they got convinced that there was something going on? Hundreds of people have done that.
Right. If he says it, though, it's a good thing because he's, you know, esteemed.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, then if he's esteemed, he might want to he's probably going to check how his esteem is going to be.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what makes me nervous.
By saying, yeah, I really do believe that there's something going on here.
That's what makes me nervous. So,
yeah.
So that's my answer, Red Pill Junkie. I have no idea what, you know, what he's going to say. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he says. And I hope he says something that people take notice of. But I'm afraid they won't.
Yeah, they won't. But it's just like the UFO thing. We're gonna have to change the ways we look at things. Or somebody's gonna have to capture a Bigfoot and put it in a cage or something where everybody can look at it, which isn't going to happen.
Right.
I'm fairly certain it's not gonna happen.
I would love it if it happened. I love zoos, as you know, so I would be a big
really?
Fan.
Really? There's do you see that personhood thing with the orangutans that came up recently? I can't remember what country it is, but Brazil or I think it was a South American country passed a law saying that orangutans at least are quasi-human and they therefore should not be in zoos.
Really?
I don't know if I agree with that. I guess I would. They have emotions. I don't think they like being cooped up. But nobody really ever cared about that. I'm not a bleeding heart. I'm not over emotional. But you know, if you're hurting a conscious being by keeping it captive, is it right to do so? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know what to make of that. You know, where do you draw the line?
I don't know. Maybe you draw the line at if we don't keep them captive, there won't be any left that we can reproduce and put back out into the wild at some point. That I kind of agree with. Yeah, sure, they'll suffer for a little while, but at least they won't disappear off the face of the earth.
Exactly. Let me see. I lost my train of thought here. Oh, well, we'll move on here because we cooked through Bigfoot longer than I thought.
Yeah. We had a lot more to talk about than I thought. It's like, I didn't look at any of this stuff. I'm going to be so stupid. But yeah, when you and I get going, it just goes. So.
Yeah. Here are some more. These are kind of off the beaten path ones. But like kind of last year I did a top five, and these kind of I think would fall into the bigger overarching big picture stories.
Yeah.
I thought the Sony hack I thought was really interesting because it kind of continues with this ongoing sort of idea of like the internet being insecure.
Yeah,
and the shadowiness of the internet and the shadiness of it all those, you know, the Sony hack also people, you got to connect that to all the celebrity nudes that got released earlier this year. So it's like, you know, it could be a bigger story. I think it's going to be a bigger story. I'm afraid that like people are going to push for their own, push for like security of the internet to their own detriment.
Yeah. Well, I think I saw some story about this where some commentator said, you're just going to have to assume everybody's watching what you're doing. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have security in place and people shouldn't protect their privacy and all that. But no matter who you are, you're going to have to assume that if you have pictures or said something that's going to exist somewhere or wrote something electronically, it's going to exist somewhere and somebody's going to have access to it. The other weird thing is when the Sony hack happened, I knew before it was in the news.
Oh, because you work for, not for Sony, but you work for one of these places?
I work for a place that does work for Sony, and we got an email one morning a couple of months ago saying Sony is shut down right now because their entire system has been hacked. And we're like, huh, what?
Yeah.
And they even showed us the little, you know, like the GOP or whatever the person, the hacker was hiding behind, or hackers, I don't know what, were hiding behind. And we're like, wow, this is, and, you know, immediately there was a shutdown. And all of our emails, they told us not to open suspicious emails, well, as normal, but
yeah,
because a lot of our work is with Sony, and they thought they would be able to get into our system, too. As it turned out, they didn't. And the other weird thing is Sony does business with lots and lots of people, and we haven't heard about anybody else having a problem.
Right. That whole thing is weird. Well, here's the thing, too. I think that I found myself kind of annoyed because everybody got on this thing where the government was like, oh, North Korea did it, and then a whole bunch of people were like, not so fast.
I read a whole bunch of articles about it. And also, Sony is like four blocks from where I work.
Right. Well, I guess the point I want to make is, like, it doesn't matter in a sense who did it. You really need to just pay attention to, like, what the hell is going to happen next. Like, trying to figure out why it happened, like, who did it, you're just wasting your time. It's because it's like, well, what the hell, how are they going to respond to this, you know? That's the scary part. That's the thing that people should be, like, concerned about. Because, like, if some 14-year-old in his basement did the Sony hack, the government doesn't really give a fuck because they can look at it and go, well, here's a great opportunity to kind of push for, you got to have a thumbprint to get online.
Yeah.
You know, here's a, people are going to get behind that now, you know. It's like every, it's like a drip, drip, drip. Every little thing is kind of going to push people towards, like, this thing where it's a more lockdown system, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the 9/11 made it happen or let it happen.
Exactly, exactly. So I don't even know who was, you know, I try not to think about who was behind it because it's like it doesn't really, it's kind of like a UFO thing. And I don't really know what what to make of it. Like, who was behind it? There's a million theories. You know?
Yeah, well, I wish I was up on internet stuff and hacking and all that. The bunch of things I've read, which probably everybody listening has read too, is kind of like, let's look at this dispassionately, you know, based on, you know, people that have worked in the industry of computer security, and look at and see who might have been responsible for this. And none of it points to North Korea at all.
Right. Right.
So you start wondering, it's like, you know, it's like, why are we trying to be, and people accepted it right away. I mean, people are like passionately, I don't know how you could think it wasn't. It's like, why did you accept that suddenly? What made you think that you had to accept what you were told immediately? That's frightening too.
Well, the whole story seems so like perfectly plausible in a fictional way.
Yes.
That you're like, that it's easy to sell to the people who aren't going to question it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds
like it was like a crafted story. It's like, oh, there's a movie about, you know, North Korea, and now North Korea is mad, so they did this. And it's like,
yeah, but they never mentioned it before they started talking about what the movie was going to be about and when it was going to be released. A hacker didn't care about it then.
Right, right. The point I'm trying to make is that it's co-opted. You know, then it turns into, then people see it and they're like, oh, we could actually use this if we spun it this way to do this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, everything has already come out. It's like, you know, well, Sony did the entire thing themselves, or George Clooney did it to Sony, or whatever the hell. Any theories about it? I can't even remember what they all are. All I'm fairly convinced of, probably 90% or more, is that North Korea didn't really have anything to do with it whatsoever.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, why would they, you know?
Yeah. It seems, and everything that's come after it has just kind of been like fallout from what somebody wanted us to believe, but most likely the FBI and the U.S. government. Elements of the U.S. government. People say the U.S. government, they think it's like this monolith that all moves in one big thing, like a giant, you know, chess piece or something. It's not. It's like a billion little pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like some with more power and reach and media access than others.
That goes without saying. It's like the mailman's part of the government, so it's a whole mess.
Yeah, but people always say the government does this. It's like, well, some part of the government may not agree with that whatsoever. It's just that they're not winning right now.
that's the case most of the time. So that story I think is a big story, and it's part of the ongoing sort of vilification of the internet, or the concerns surrounding it. But the internet still gets bigger and bigger and better, so.
It's like, you know what? It's like we've been beating around this, but it's like the internet's 9/11.
In a way, yeah, I guess. You know, I suppose it is.
Yeah.
Because they took the movie down at first, and then they re-released the movie, and it was like, yeah, I guess in a way it was like the biggest sort of, you know, if we look, and I did see the movie, and I thought it was awesome, by the way. So.
Really? Okay.
If you like that kind of movie, I mean, it goes without saying.
Generally heard from people that they thought it was pretty good.
If you like Pineapple Express, it's essentially Pineapple Express as a spy movie. So you kind of know what you're getting into with that.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, I guess it was kind of like that, the 9/11 analogy, because it was like the biggest thing, and it kind of got everybody all fired up.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought of this. You know what my favorite spy movie is, silly spy movie, is what's that one with – no, I can't think of the name, but
Spies
The In-Laws.
Like What's that?
The In-Laws.
Meet the Fockers?
With Alan Arkin and... I can't remember his name. A bunch of people. Anyway, yeah, it's a guy... it's a guy that's actually in the CIA, and a guy's marrying into his family.
Right, Meet the Fockers, right? Yeah, with Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller and all that.
Something like that, but this was, like, made in the 70s.
Oh!
You know, he drags this guy. The guy's a dentist. Alan Arkin's a dentist, and he drags him into all his CIA stuff, and he gets more and more and more crazy. Things get more and more and more crazy and stupid and funny until finally at the end he's, like, he comes to peace with it and... I think he parachutes out of a plane or something at his daughter's wedding or something. I can't remember.
Jesus. All right.
It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Somebody in the chat room figure out what that was.
Like, and try to take it over, and the leader's totally insane, and he has a portrait done of himself, except it's on black velvet with, like, two naked women.
Jesus.
It's one of the funniest movies ever. I mean, it's, like, classically hilarious. The In-Laws, yeah.
All right. I'll check it
out. Peter Falk and Alan Arkin.
All right.
We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?